If you go to them and say, brother, you know, do you feel like you're pretty much a good person?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, you know, do you feel like, you know, you keep the Ten Commandments?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, well, naturally, you know. And then you say, well, hey, you know, just for conversation's sake, let's just test that for a moment. You know, do you know any of the Ten Commandments?
Yeah.
Good. Can you name 10 beers?
Oh, sure.
See, Heineken, Schlitz, Miller, you know, Pabst, Blue Ribbon. Well, the Ninth Commandment says, you know, we shouldn't lie. Have you ever told a lie? Once or twice,
just
yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. Well, what does that make you if you told a lie?
I'm not a bad person.
I think you're a pretty great guy myself. I enjoy talking with you. But, you know, but if someone tells a lie, what does that make them?
I guess it makes them a liar.
A liar, yeah. And if you've told a lie then, Ty, what does that make you?
Yeah. It didn't hurt him.
How about this? Have you ever stolen anything? Taken something that didn't belong to you? Even something small, just something small, insignificant.
Maybe once or twice.
Now remember, you just told me you're a liar. All right, so if you take something that doesn't belong to you, what does it make you? If you steal something.
Thief.
A thief. You're a thief. Have you ever used the name of God in vain? Have you ever just, you know, kind of said, you know, well, you know, the fourth commandment says you shouldn't take the name of the Lord in vain, and there's a word for that. It's blasphemy, because God's name is holy. And instead of using this four-letter word that starts with, you know, F or whatever, we decide to use God's name to curse instead. That's blasphemy. How about, you know, the one commandment says you shouldn't commit adultery. Now, Jesus says that if you even lust in your heart after someone else's spouse, then you're guilty in your heart of adultery. Have you ever lusted for anybody?
Well, yeah, I'm a
man. Yeah, you're a guy, you know? So if you were to stand before God on the day of judgment, by your own admission, Ty, this is nothing I'm saying, this is by your own admission, you are a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart. So on that day, would you be guilty or innocent?
I guess I'd be guilty.
I guess you'd be guilty, brother. Awesome. Thank you. Appreciate that. And you could go from there. Does that concern you at all, that you would be guilty? The law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And people, by their own admission, will confess. And when the Holy Spirit is there, if you're prayed up in the Holy Spirit, it's amazing sometimes as that door comes open and the thing begins to crumble inside of them. And this isn't trying to be coy. This isn't trying to be clever. This is just, you know, this is just opening the door so that people can realize their need and allow God to do something inside of them. It's not the method. It's not the technique. That's just a tool. It's nice to have that on hand, but it's the Holy Spirit that brings conviction and opens their heart to the gospel. All right, number three. Try to speed this up a little bit. Thank you guys for being patient. How many people feel intimidated, scared, nervous, anxious? Intimidated to say that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Anybody ever feel intimidated to tell someone that? Yeah. Larry King loves this, man. He uses this on all of his Christian guests. At some point in the interview, he will come out and say to them, are you trying to tell me that if you're a Muslim, you're going to hell? If you're a Buddhist, if you're a Hindu, you're going to hell because you're not a Christian instead? Larry King, you can set your watch by it. You know, Peter said, always be ready to, you know, be prepared to give an answer for those who ask of the hope that is within you. So be prepared. But that can be an intimidating situation, you know, because, you know, and people don't like to admit that they need help from Jesus. Their pride says, I'll do it my way. You know, just like Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. And I would ask Sarah to sing and imitate him, but, you know, we don't have time for that. Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, they all want to work it out by their own methods, either through devotion to some God or by doing good works or by some eightfold path of right action and right intention, on and on and on. All these religions, aside from Christianity, teach that man is his own savior. He performs to the point where he is able to save himself, and that is simply a lie from the pit of hell. We are desperate in need of a savior, and we are unable to save ourselves. And that's why Jesus is the only way. Now, if someone questions it, there's ways you can answer that objection, and I'm not going to go into detail. Anybody think of a Bible verse that simply says that Jesus is it? John 14:6, that's right, which says, oh, son of a God, it's on the overhead. Who'd have thought? Yeah. Jesus said to him, I am the way. The way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He is the only one who came down from heaven to take on human flesh so that man could be saved. So he is the only one qualified. Now, there's all kinds of things. You can turn the tables on them if you want. You know, if they say, well, how can you say that Jesus is the only way? If I don't believe in Jesus, I'm going to hell. Or that some Buddhist or some Hindu is going to hell. You can ask them, do you think moral wrongs ought to be punished? Mary Lou, do you believe moral wrongs ought to be punished? Oh, yeah, sure. You know, people shouldn't be able to get away with whatever they want to do. You know? Well, if that's true, that the gospel is the only one that provides that kind of a thing, you know, provides salvation for that kind of a thing. And you go on and on, and there's a lot of different apologetics techniques you could use. But bottom line is this, the problem, here's the problem with answering the question, whatever method you use to tackle the objection, the problem with this is the same problem that hinders every other question that comes up or every other issue. And that is, no matter how well prepared you are, no matter how much studying you have done, no matter how much preparation and knowledge you might have, or techniques you have in your pocket, or gospel tracts you might have in your pocket, the problem is this, the same pride that keeps sinners from accepting Christ is the same pride that will keep you from using all of those resources to share the gospel. And no matter how prepared, how studied, how knowledgeable we are, our flesh gets in the way and our pride gets in the way because we don't want to be persecuted. We would rather enjoy the praise of men. And so in spite of all those things, there is only one thing that we desperately need that will allow us the freedom to proclaim the gospel boldly. What do you think that is? Thank you, brother. All of those things are good, and yes, we ought to be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks, but bottom line is this, no matter how studied you are, unless you are walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, it's just so much vanity in the flesh. And if you left off all those other things, as nice as it is to have them, and as much as I encourage people to be prepared, if you left off all those other things, but you were living your life filled with the Holy Spirit, walking in the power of His anointing, God would do things with you that would amaze you and astound you. Because the bottom line is, Peter, being filled with the Holy Spirit, said on and on and on. It's that filling of the Holy Spirit. The men that Peter faced were the same men that had put Jesus to death a few weeks earlier. And yet, because of the fullness of the Holy Spirit, he was able to stand there in that power and answer them with boldness. Not just, you know, this little squeaky little mouse answer. Well, I mean, he was lame. We just healed him. You know what I mean? So it was Jesus. Who cares? You know, he spoke boldly to them. Why? The Holy Spirit. That's the key. It is always the key. It has always been the key. The filling of the Holy Spirit is what makes us bold for Christ. It's what gives us the wisdom to answer. The Holy Spirit gives us words that we could not even come up with on our own. I love when in that God moment, you know what I'm talking about? When you can tell God has set this up and you, in spite of your own rationalizations and fears, you step through that door and the Holy Spirit gives you words to speak that you think, man, where did that come from? That was perfect for that situation. Praise God. And it brings conviction to those listening. Praise God. So, here's Peter. They threaten him. They severely threaten him. They don't just threaten him. They severely threaten him. And then they throw him out of the place. And what does he do? Does he just go home and say, got out of that one. Last time I ever healed somebody, man, next time they're going to have to sit there and beg, man, I ain't doing that again. Man, them guys threatened me. I've been threatened before, but they couldn't threaten me, man. My butt has been threatened now. I'm just going to back off and go home and lock the door. Is that what Peter did? Heck no, man. Acts chapter 4, verses 29 to 31. He went back. He told the church what had been happened. They decided to have a prayer meeting. And they didn't ask for safety. And they didn't ask for protection. They didn't say, oh, Lord, let a hedge of protection surround me and keep me safe. And, you know, don't let anything happen to me. I don't want to, you know, get bruised or broken or anything. They simply asked for boldness. Acts 4:29, they got together and they said, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all what?
Boldness.
They may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and so that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with
boldness.
Thank you, brother. Amen. They didn't say, oh God, please don't let me get hurt. Oh God, please don't let people make fun of me. Oh God, you know, please don't let them lock me out of the temple. I like the temple so much. I would really miss going there. They said, God, make me bold. Give me courage. And they said, stretch out your hand to do what? To heal. Signs and wonders and miracles. Because in the face, that kind of thing makes you bold. You know, when you pray for somebody and they get healed of something or they get filled with the Spirit and you can tell that glory is on them and maybe they even just fall out in the Spirit, it's hard to argue with that kind of thing. That'll give you some boldness. When you pray and you feel the actual presence of God begin to just rest and abide upon you, man, that'll make you bold for Jesus. Praise God. It takes boldness to stand in front of a TV camera surrounded by militant homosexuals screaming in your face. It takes boldness to go out on a street corner and offer somebody a tract and tell them that they are a sinner in need of a Savior, but God sent His Son Jesus to die for them because He loves them passionately in spite of anything and everything they've ever done. It takes boldness to sit down with a cup of coffee with a friend on the porch on some, you know, summer afternoon or something and just say, hey, you know what, I'd like to, would you mind if I just shared something with you? You've been on my heart lately and I love you and I just want you to know something that has really made a difference in my life. Could I do that? It takes boldness. Doesn't it take boldness to do that? You ever talk yourself out of doing that? Man, yeah. And where do we get that boldness from? Holy Spirit, it's that simple. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need. You know, tomorrow morning you guys are going to wake up and you're not going to be in church. I hope. I mean, if Lisa comes in and you're here, okay, well, you know, praise God. Well, just make some coffee, you know, and maybe go get some muffins or something or see what's left over in the fridge. But I'm suspecting you won't be in church tomorrow morning. You're going to wake up where? At home, in your bed. You're going to roll over, you're going to take the blanket off, you're going to stretch, and you're going to go, oh, it's Monday morning. And are you going to need boldness tomorrow? Oh, it's easy to be bold here. It's easy to be bold when you got the whole band, well, half the band anyway, you know, Mark Slater. If you're listening by tape, you know, or on our website, Mark, you know, we could use you to hear. Anyway, it's easy to be bold when you're here and half the band is up here, you know, rocking and rolling and singing the praises of God and everybody around you is going, God is great, He's wonderful, He's beautiful, and, you know, you're dressed in your church clothes or not, and, you know, you're in here and you're going to eat anyway, and it's easy to be bold in church. But tomorrow morning, I got news, you're going to wake up home, and you're going to go where? To work. And you're going to get out on the highway or on the bus or in the marketplace and you're going to face people that don't know all this stuff, that weren't, you know, hollering and shouting and carrying on with you yesterday, which is today. Praise God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Man, that's why I love being a charismatic church. Thank God, because we're not afraid of this stuff, I hope. Thank God He sent the Holy Spirit so that we don't have to tremble in our boots. We don't have to be intimidated. We don't have to be afraid. We can, with boldness, with loving, tender, merciful compassion. Look in the eyes of someone who's there to intimidate us and persecute us and say with loving tenderness that God loves them. And yes, they have fallen short. And yes, they have a desperate need for a Savior. But God wouldn't have it any other way. He gave His own Son for them because He loves them so much. And proclaim it with boldness. Amen? Man, I pray the Lord will help us all to be bold starting tomorrow morning. Maybe starting this afternoon. You might leave here and are they still? Yeah, they're still playing football. You might go to somebody's house for a football game, you know, and they're carrying on and, you know, three sheets to the wind and they're just, you know, acting like a bunch of yahoos. We all know what that's like. Some of us anyway. And you know, you might be like, you know, wow, and you just sense it's a God moment. And I pray that whatever way, shape, or form that takes, that the Lord would give you in that moment the boldness of the Holy Spirit, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be bold for Him regardless of the persecution you might face. And that you would see the fruit of your faithfulness, that God would in fact give you the privilege and high honor of seeing your friends and family come to Christ. There is no greater thrill in this world than to see someone genuinely come to Christ and be gloriously, eternally saved. I wouldn't trade that kind of thing for all the treasure on this planet. It is the most precious, incredible thing that can happen to a person, to see that light of recognition dawn in their soul and pour through their eyes and see that breaking happen in their soul and God fill them with His Spirit, man. There's nothing like that in the world. Praise God. So I would just encourage you, tomorrow morning when you wake up, when you stretch, and your arms are out there like that, just say, Lord, give me more of your power, man. Give me more of your Holy Spirit. Get together with your spouse. How many people here are married? Okay, there you go. Praise God. Get together with your spouse and say, hey, let's pray before I go out of here. It's a dangerous world out there. I don't know what's going to happen, you know. Can we just take a moment to pray? Man, there is power. I love to see what God does when I pray with Missy, man. It just, praise God. Just take a moment and allow God to fill you with this Holy Spirit. How can you be filled with the Holy Spirit? Real quick, we're not going to drag this out. What are some things you can do?
Ask for it.
God, it's Monday. Fill me, Lord. Fill me with your Spirit today. Man, it's Monday, and it's a real Monday. I'm going to need this. What are some other things we can do? Praise God. When you start praising God, draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. Some other things. Give thanks. Praise God for who He is. Give thanks for what He's done. What's another thing you can do? Get together with another believer. Maybe call somebody on the phone. Come to church. Go over to their house. Get together. Because, you know, when the body of Christ comes together, where two or three are gathered in my name, what did Jesus say? There I am in the midst of them. Praise God. So Monday morning, you know your homework assignment, right? Come to church. Yeah. Or if you wake up here, go home. Come together with the body of Christ. Get together with the Lord if nobody else, or with your spouse if they're available or if you have one. But just seek God and seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that you can be a vessel for His glory and see what He's going to do with you Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday. Praise God.